Hey gang, welcome to episode 3 of Backlog Barbecue. This is Alex. I am joined by Ted.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, you know.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm not going to get anything else. You usually have like a quip every week, so that's why I'm like trying to bring that out of you, but I guess
I'm leveling 14 classes in Final Fantasy. Is that something you knew about Final Fantasy? That you can level every class at the same time?
Yeah, I should have probably added that. In case you guys are wondering, Ted is referring to the 10 things you might not know about Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn, because that's the whole name of the game.
You should have done Biggs and Wedger in it. I mean, that's not really that much of a spoiler, is it?
It kind of is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, their existence in the game and their meaning is kind of hidden, but we have somebody else joining us. Holy crap.
Who could it be?
Who could it be? Oh my gosh, it's Ari.
Where? Oh, hi.
Hi.
That guy.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back. Hey.
That guy. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, we're going to grill you on Lyft in a little bit, but definitely glad to have you back.
Does that mean I get to say my referral code on the air?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I don't see the problem with that.
I don't see the problem with that at all.
I won't spoil it now, though. I'll save it for later.
Okay, so, I mean, might as well start it now because we haven't heard from you for a while. So what's this thing about Lyft?
Oh, really? We're going right into that right now before the video games? Is that really what we want to do?
Well, that's technically what you've been playing, right?
Kind of. I mean, I have still been playing games, but yes, I've kind of found a new obsession lately in the form of ride sharing.
Ride sharing.
Yeah, that's what they call it. I don't know if you've heard of Lyft, but it's basically a taxi alternative, which is more like ride sharing. That's what they like to call it. And it's really easy to use. You just get the app, you press a button. Somebody comes and picks you up, they take you where you're going, and there's no transaction with the driver whatsoever, so it's safe. So I've been doing that for work and making money, and it's allowed me to continue working on the website in my free time, which is great.
Yep. That's good. So I actually downloaded the app just out of curiosity, because, like, Sin was, like, saying, like, there was, like, that incident where there's this guy who was, like, perving a bunch of girls and stuff like that, and all I can think about is, like, how is this guy getting, like, good ratings?
Yeah, the way it works is the passenger can rate you up to 5 stars, and if you get too many bad ratings, they kick your ass off the app permanently. So, if anybody's being creepy, they're not going to be around for long, that's for sure.
Yeah, that story just sounded kind of weird. I would think, like, the whole crowdsourcing thing would kind of just fix itself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, somebody has to suffer through it first, unfortunately. That's just how these things work. But from what I've experienced so far, it's been an amazingly great community among Lyft.
Yeah.
Both the passengers and the drivers. It's just, it's really cool.
It's funny because, like, my friend Sean was, like, saying, like, yeah, I see Ari all the time in the forums. What's going on?
Yeah, I saw him on there too. But, yeah, if you do need a free ride and you've never used Lyft before, you can use my code RE459 after you download the app, but before you request a Lyft. And that'll get you your first free ride up to $25.
Nice, nice.
That'll get you a long way.
Yeah.
Well, how far does $25 get me?
A lot further than a taxi, that's for sure. Lyft is a lot cheaper. I would say, I don't know, it's hard to put it into perspective, but they charge around $1.25 per mile and around $0.25 a minute. So do the math, depending on where you're going and how much traffic it is. You can get pretty far in $25.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So I know we talked about this during my birthday, but I mean, Lyft has this really weird kind of meta game going on, isn't there? Like,
yeah, you guys are kind of making fun of me because I was talking about it.
No, I wasn't making fun of you. Eventually, I just got completely enthralled by the whole thing.
Well, I mean, the way it works is, like, because you got this rating system and, the more you do it, like, you kind of level up, like in an RPG. Like, when I first started doing it, first I had to meet a mentor, and then I started driving. And once I got to, like, 30 drives, like, they moved me into, like, this special lounge. And then, like, once I got to 100 drives in a month, it's, like, a better lounge for the experienced drivers, you know? So it's like I'm leveling up within the job.
What kind of provisions do you have to get?
Well, I mean, really, the tiers are 30 drives and then 100 drives in a month. Those are the tiers. Before that, you're in the newbie driver lounge. So I guess there's three different separate levels. But I don't know. I've just been enjoying it so much, and I'm going to keep doing it because it's making me some decent money, and I'm having fun with it.
I can't argue with the logic. And I mean, the amount of money you're making isn't bad. And
no, it's not bad at all.
Can we talk about Uber by any chance? Or
yeah, so this is, I guess this is where the faction wars come into play, right?
Yes.
So Uber was doing this really aggressive program to kind of bring over Lyft drivers to work for Uber. And they were offering anybody that's driven for Lyft enough times, $500 just to start driving for Uber one time.
Wow.
So, you know, I was like, what the hell? I'll give it a try. I'll do my one drive and I'll get my $500. Well, guess what? I'm driving for both now. Yay. So maybe I'll like level up Uber a bit and get my faction set of gear or something.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. So
get
what
Uber
would be
rims?
I don't know. Well, you do have gear, right? I mean, you have that,
well, like
pink.
Lyft, they send you the mustache, right? It's this big old fucking pink mustache that you're supposed to put on the front of your car. So, yeah, there you go. It's a faction item.
What does Uber have?
Uber doesn't really have anything like that that I've seen so far, but they did give me an iPhone to use their app with.
Ooh.
It doesn't do anything else.
Yeah. But still, that's pretty cool because, like, you can kind of, like, play both.
Yeah, but I've got like two docks in my car for these two different phones, and when I leave the house, I bring a third phone to play games on. It's getting kind of ridiculous.
But you've got a system, though. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, while I'm waiting for a ride, I play the third phone.
What are you playing right now on the phone?
You're going to hate me because it's the same old game that I've been talking about on these podcasts since the beginning of our podcast together. Go.
Oh gosh.
All right, that's cool.
There's a bunch of apps for studying Go and playing Go, so I play them.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I would be playing Plants vs. Zombies 2, but I'm just stubbornly holding out for the PC version that made
I
for
deleted
it.
That. They changed it too much where they made it really impossible to win without using
microtransactions.
Microtransactions. They really upped the difficulty.
Really? Mm.
Because
when they started that, you know, and they had the microtransactions and stuff, like the pay trail could, you know, you could just easily, like, you know, outmaneuver that. That's crazy that now they're leaving.
Did you play when they redid the game? When they redid the whole game. They got rid of the overworld maps as you know them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a point where they actually got rid of the lawnmowers. Unless you, every time you used a lawnmower, you had to buy another one with in-game currency. They got rid of that, but.
Wow.
That's insane.
I'm kind of glad I'm not playing it.
I mean,
do you think there's any chance whatsoever of a full PC version without microtransactions?
There will be a PC version. I don't know about microtransactions.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
it's
microtransactions.
It's literally been about a year since that game came out already.
Yeah. Well, microtransactions on PC are not, you know, like
uncommon.
Are not uncommon, but
heck,
even then.
Heck, I mean, I was playing some Warframe the other day, and there's a PlayStation Plus sale on a specific Warframe bundle, and ended up buying it. Ugh. I mean, it didn't bother me. It's completely optional.
I can't believe EA and PopCap still haven't announced anything about the PC version of the game, though. After an entire year, and every single like Facebook post, every single Twitter post that they do, has a bunch of replies that say, where's the PC version? Mm. Where's the PC version? And they're just like, we'll let you know when there's anything to announce.
Yeah,
really old. It was really old 8 months ago, and now it's just really, really old. So come on, EA, come on, PopCap, stop f***ing with us and release the damn game.
Well, I don't know. EA was really busy releasing a Battlefield 4 last month.
Oh boy!
Wow.
The joke here is that there was a patch for Battlefield 4 that actually finally fixed the game once and for all. And I can say as a fan of Battlefield 4, they did do it. But I mean, it's kind of funny.
Wow.
Is anyone still playing?
Yeah. The Battlefield Hardline beta ends next week, but this patch, what it did is it makes the polling rate. So basically, the game only polled like 10 times a second, which is sometimes why you dodge behind a bush, but then you died anyway and you didn't understand it. And so that changed. So now it's 30 times a second, and it feels like a whole new game. So, wow. You know, just that.
That's insane.
Cool. Gosh. I actually got into that beta, but I haven't done it yet. I guess left.
What they changed is there's some Counter-Strike mechanics where you can buy your weapons middle of a match with the money that you earn from playing.
Wait, this is in Hardline?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Hardline.
Weird.
The maps are also smaller, and it's a more intimate experience.
So, yeah, I mean, from what I saw from the E3 demo, it looked pretty cool.
Vehicles seem useless because it's like, oh, cool, we got in a car. All right, we're all in a car. We're not in a tank. We're in a car.
Wow.
Why can't we be in a tank?
Why can't this car shoot?
Now that you're talking about...
I can shoot from the driver's seat out the door, but I don't know. I want a fucking howitzer. Don't work with me here.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, I have an extra key for Hardline, but since it's ending next week, it's like, what's the fucking use? It seems like no one's interested in this game.
I like it.
I don't know about that. I mean, it just seems like everybody was interested right around when E3 was happening, and it's kind of come and gone already, huh?
Well, that's kind of bad news then for the developers, right? It's like, oh my god, we've been making this game for about a couple of years, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, but really, how excited can you get about like a beta or a demo? I just don't get excited about those things anymore.
Well, or even like a cops and robbers kind of game.
Well, everything's a beta these days. There's a Halo 5 beta later this year. Rumor has it that they're going to do a beta for my favorite game, Phantom Dust. Destiny had an alpha. It's got a beta coming up. Beta's the new demo.
Yeah.
We've got some easy segues here, Alex. What do you think?
Oh, jeez. well, we're still kind of like in that segment of like what you've been playing. So, I mean,
speaking of cars, I've been playing Saints Row 4. And like you said about a year ago, we really have no need for cars in that game.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, I've been like running around at a million miles per hour and jumping over buildings, and it's quite fun.
But yeah?
I'm really, really, really annoyed that the skill trees in the game are tied to collectibles that are on the top of buildings that you just have to constantly collect throughout the whole game.
Wow, that sounds like Crackdown.
No, there's literally over 1,000 of them.
Oh!
Blue lights on top of buildings and on the sides of buildings that you have to run into. And you have to spend like between 10 and like 30 or 50 of them at a time on power-ups. So it's like, okay, I want the next power-up. Time to jump up buildings for the next 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, the reason why they did that, I think, is, I mean, you don't have to collect all of them. I don't think that, you know, anybody would want to just because, you know, like there's just ridiculous amount of, I don't even think there's like trophies or achievements tied with them, but I think
if you want to power up all your skills, you kind of need to, don't you?
Maybe not.
Unless you just pick and choose a couple.
Because, I mean, you're probably just seeing, like, the blue stuff, like, all over the place, but there's still blue stuff that you actually get to unlock if you, I don't know, hammer the side of a wall or hammer,
Yeah, I just got the telekinesis, so the orbs that have three in them I've started to find.
Yeah, well, there's that. But, you know, like, when I was playing it last year with Chris, like, I feel, you know, what's interesting about it is that when you play it co-op, if you get, like, one of those blue orbs in somebody else's game, you actually technically get it in your game as well. So I was kind of thinking that maybe the reason why they did that is so that maybe two players can do something together.
Did you play the co-op campaign?
Yeah.
And what did you think? Was it fun?
I mean, it's really fun because like it's both of you actually playing the game, but I don't think...
Is it just the single-player game with a friend?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because, I mean, it is kind of balanced towards two players. And to be honest, like, if I'm going to play, like, a game for difficulty, I'm not going to play a Saints Row game, because they're not the most difficult games, you know?
No, in this game, you can get shot about 100 times without blinking.
Yeah.
Can you play across platforms, like PS3 and PC?
No, you know how those are. It's only MMOs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad.
It is too bad. You know, and it's also, you know, I kind of blame Microsoft for it. I think they were the ones who basically said, nope, no cross-platform bullshit, and, you know.
No, they had cross-platform bullshit, but it might as well be dead now.
Well, I guess it's like a general, like, they tried it, you know, with Shadowrun and stuff, but, like, they
I don't know
really.
If you heard, but Square is trying to convince Microsoft to let them release 14 on Xbox One.
Well, they did that with 11.
Yeah, kind of strange.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, it's like, if you think about it, like, and that was the only game that Xbox owners, PlayStation owners, and PC owners were able to play with each other. It's insane.
Why can't we all just get along?
No kidding, right?
Because middleware is a bitch. I don't know, actually. You know, it's not too difficult. There's all these developers that say, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't know, that seems like a segue. You know that I've been on the podcast talking about the death of games for Windows Live for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Another one bites the dust.
What is it now?
Super Street Fighter 4 on PC has officially dropped games for Windows Live. It is now a Steamworks game.
And upgradable to Ultra, right?
Actually,
Ultra is only $15. It's coming
out. Not only is Ultra only $15, but the pre-order went live today or yesterday.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice. So,
that's it.
So we're going to see like mods of like existing characters pretty soon then.
But the best community for that's still on PS3, right?
I would say Xbox, but the PC version has actually thrived for a long time. They've done a very good job.
Mm-hmm. And the mod community is pretty interesting in that one.
Yeah, but it's mostly just costumes, although someone did come up with, like, they patched the game to play, like, they patched the game to play, like, Ultra before Ultra came out.
But oh, wow.
Obviously, we're there now.
Yeah.
Even so, it's just another game down. I keep hearing that the Red Faction Guerrilla is going to drop it. That's an older one.
Huh.
So basically, other than the Microsoft published games, which are basically out of print anyway, that's kind of it. Fallout 3 still uses it, though. That's strange.
Yeah, that's probably one that people would want most to get switched over.
But, like, why?
I agree.
Like, okay, I understand that there's something with, you know, with the DRM and whatnot, but it's like, you know, in terms of, I just don't get it. Like, usually, like, you know, these online authentication things, it's like, you know, it's just for, especially, like, if you had, like, some sort of multiplayer component, and Fallout 3 doesn't have one.
No, but it does have patches and DLC,
and DLC
just dealing with it is just a pain in the ass.
And remember, if Games for Windows Live goes away, which is heavily rumored to do, we're going to have a problem.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a game that really needs to get converted over. It's actually a great game. That's the main reason, is it's a great game that needs to stay alive, you know?
Is there something that the modding community can do with that game?
No, it's too deep into the game, the system, to really work. But, I mean, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, it's got to happen. It's too important a title. Especially since, you know, Fallout 4 has got to be coming, right?
That's kind of like what people are hoping, but
it's, well, obviously, there's nothing new using games for Windows Live. The last game that was published using it was Dark Souls. Dark Souls 2, obviously using Steamworks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is that? Are any of you two like actually playing Dark Souls 2?
No, because it makes me sad.
Why?
Okay, it makes me cry. How's that?
Oh.
No, these games are just so ridiculously punishing, and I don't know. I think I'm just getting old, and I don't feel like being beat over the head a million times anymore.
Oh, no. Old things.
Old gamers.
I can't wait to get beat over. I'm going to pick up the new Monster Hunter when that comes out. Talk about getting beat over the head.
You know, speaking
of, that's fun though. I mean, I would enjoy that.
You know, speaking of which,
it's on 3DS this time. So,
indifference.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like my console gaming a lot better than my handheld gaming.
Crazy. Well,
speaking of having both, I mentioned I've pre-ordered a PlayStation TV, right?
Yes.
All right.
Not on here, but you did.
Yeah, okay, so I have pre-ordered a PlayStation TV. Is it overkill? Yes, but it's solving a first-world problem I have, which is I want to play PlayStation 4, and I don't want to use my Vita sometimes. I want to play on a controller.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of, it's great. I might actually be considering getting an Xbox One.
Whoa, really?
You know what's even crazier? I can't remember why. I watched the Microsoft conference, and by the end of the conference, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get one this Black Friday if I can find a good deal. I'm going to get an Xbox One. I want it because, and then the other press conferences happened, and I don't remember.
It's weird. Okay, so Fable Legends is no longer Fable. Now it's like a Diablo game. So that's not it, right?
Right. But that had that cool, like, overhead Dungeon Master kind of deal. That seemed kind of neat.
Yeah, but
four-on-one kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know anything. Like, if I trust them with that. I mean, that's not Fable to me.
Oh, it's definitely a different genre for the series. And also, who knows if anybody still cares about Fable, especially with Peter having moved on to 22 cans.
Oh, but, and after that terrific Kinect game.
Oh, yeah. but I still kind of love the idea of one person playing as a dungeon master in any game. You know, it, sure. When it's done well, it can be an amazing feature. So if they do a good job with it, then great.
Yeah.
But I'm highly skeptical of what they can actually accomplish with it. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I know. And how about that bastardization of Conker? Holy hell. Like, yeah, we don't have a real mascot for Project Spark, but we're going to give you Conker anyway, because we couldn't figure out a good mascot for this game.
You know what? That made me completely happy.
What?
I was just thrilled to see him show up in any form. I was like, wow, he exists.
It's that, like, was enough for me. It's like after everybody has been saying, like, we need a Conker game, we need a Conker game. And of course, they give him a new Conker game, but not in the way that they want it to.
You know what I think? And this is kind of stupid, but I think they should remake Conker's Bad Fur Day again.
Again?
Yes.
Well, it's been 10 years.
Not only that, but when they remade it, they still didn't get 60 frames a second.
Oh, my God.
But they went from what, Nintendo 64 to Xbox 360,
mm-hmm.
and the game still ran like crap.
No, it was on the original Xbox. It was not a 360 game.
It wasn't a 360 game. Okay, well, it still ran like... So I feel like they've yet to give that game the proper modern treatment, you know?
Jesus.
And, you know, if they do another re-release, they could always add stuff to it and really modernize it if they needed to.
Oh, gosh, modernize the gameplay. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I like the gameplay. It would just be better with a good frame rate. The frame rate's what killed it so much.
Well, the frame rate and the gameplay, I think. Like, you know, not exactly changing the way that it plays, but just make it a little snappier, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well...
That's so what else? Remind me of why I want an Xbox One.
Sunset Overdrive?
Yes, that looked amazing.
Forza Horizon 2?
Racing game?
Phantom Dust.
That's all Ted.
Okay.
See, he knows not to steal gimmicks.
Nice.
Phantom Dust is my gimmick.
Okay. All right.
Really, because it's weird to say that's the thing you like most out of E3. When you watch E3, you're like, what's the thing? You're like, Phantom Dust? That guy's a hipster. It's like, no, I like Phantom Dust before it was cool.
Well, Ted, that just makes you more real.
Oh, thanks, dog. You're the man now.
You're the man, dog. Speaking of which, what have you been playing, sir?
Playing FF14. I have a free-to-play obsession in Dragon Coins. I think I've talked about that on the show before. It's a... free-to-play game. It's like Puzzles and Dragons, but the mechanic is there's a coin pusher and you drop coins onto the play field.
Ah. Huh.
It's fun.
Interesting. Yeah, and how's Final Fantasy 14 treating you?
It never stops having things to do, which is one of my favorite things about the design of that game.
Yeah.
You never have to stop enjoying yourself.
This is when we try to convince Ari to play the game.
He owns it.
I know. I really want to. It's just, I don't know, the backlog. The ever-persistent backlog.
Backlog barbecue.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually have been playing more games than just Saints Row 4, believe it or not. I played a bit of Sleeping Dogs, which was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was trying to decide which one I wanted to, you know, really go full steam into.
Balls deep.
Yeah, and I played a bunch of Saints Row, then I played a bit of Sleeping Dogs, and now I'm back in Saints Row again. They're both really good games. I don't know. Maybe I'm just burned out on open world because of Grand Theft Auto 5 and how much time I put into that one.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But
And guess what? It's coming to PC now. Yay!
I know, and I'm going to have to play it again.
I'm actually going to get the PS4 version for some reason.
And there's another game that I played recently, too. Well, aside from Hearthstone. Botanicula. Did I say that right? Botanicula?
Botanicula.
Bama ding dong.
Botalica, yeah. That's actually a really fun, quirky little point-and-click game. You never played it. Give it a shot, because it just does great things with audio and visual cues and cute sound effects and strange, bizarre puzzles. It's not the kind of game where you can really... know how to play, because every puzzle is different and you just kind of have to guess and check your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're doing that, the things that are happening with the sound and animation is just so charming and interesting that it's just a fantastic game. So if that one's in your backlog, give it a shot.
Nice.
Let me see. There's a good chance I have that in Steam for some reason.
There's a good chance you have every game.
Yes, totally.
Nope, I don't have it. I don't believe it. Wow. Wow. Wow.
I don't believe it either.
Well, you know, there's a Steam sale starting tomorrow. The summer sale is officially on tomorrow.
And that's probably going to happen. You're probably going to get it.
Mm.
I did pre-order Infamous First Light today. That was interesting. And it's one of those first games that's actually going to come preloaded on the PS4.
That'll be great, you know, getting there.
That's
another game I want to play, Second Son.
I would probably recommend that for you, Ari, because, I mean, you know, when Sean was on the podcast and stuff, he kept on telling me, dude, you got to play up until the part where you meet the neon girl. And I'm like, really? I have to wait until the part where I meet the neon girl to actually enjoy this game? So I'm kind of glad that they're making a dedicated game for this girl.
Well, I enjoyed both of the first Infamous games, so I don't know. I might be the right target audience for Second Son. I just have to find the time to play it and money to pick it up, really.
Well, I'm kind of suggesting that maybe since you can't afford like the full price game, why not just pick up the standalone one, you know?
Oh, yeah. When's it coming out anyway?
That's in August.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's like only $14, and yes, it's a standalone game. You don't even need the full game, and you play as that character, the cool character. So I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to finally get to play as that character.
The question is, how much gameplay is there going to be? Because you kind of expect it to be like 10 hours or so, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay, if there's any indication with the games that Ubisoft released last year, which, you know, most notably Far Cry Blood Dragon and Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, I mean, wait. Both games have the word cry in it. Anyways, maybe like about, you know, 5-6 hours, which is not bad for $15.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, especially, but, you know, it's a full...
What I'm probably going to do is wait for the full game to be $15 and get the little expansion when it's even cheaper, because that's just how I roll when I have such a big backlog of games. It's just insane for me to buy games at full price.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well, they don't consider... First Light as an expansion at all. Like, they consider it's
a standalone.
It's a standalone. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to actually pack it, because, I mean, what was it? The Festival of whatever the fuck?
Infamous, like, Festival of Blood.
Yeah.
Was a standalone for Infamous 2.
Yeah, and they never really packed that in with Infamous 2, right?
Nope.
Yeah. So that might happen. So, but I'm just
saying.
The
only question that I have is whether or not the game is going to get cheap enough for me to buy, or it's going to be free on PlayStation Plus first.
Ooh.
That's the big question.
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
Is the other both other Infamous games on PlayStation Plus, or is just one of them?
Infamous was free because of the deal where the PSN went down like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And Infamous 2 was free on Plus at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, it was one of the Evergreen games, wasn't it? Infamous 2?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, by the way, Ari.
Yes.
I just pulled a legendary from a free deck.
I hate you.
Again.
Again.
Yeah. Great.
Common occurrence.
For our listeners' sake, if you haven't read my Hearthstone article, I have been playing since August, and I've had exactly 2 legendary cards in that entire time. And they were, the combined power of both of those cards together is 1. Some legendaries. I have a 0-4 and a 1-1 legendary. So, yeah.
I have the Mage Legendary, I have the Paladin Legendary, I have the Warlock Legendary. I actually got 2 of the same Legendary.
But aren't one you is, buying one is a golden. Lot, though? Like, to get that?
Yeah, how much actually, money have you spent?
Like, on the game total?
Yeah.
Like, are we actually, like, talking about this?
Yeah, we are.
Like you want to know?
Yeah.
I
don't know, $400.
What? You spent $400 on Hearthstone?
Pay to win!
Wow. Well, okay, so now I don't feel nearly as bad about my 2 legendaries, because I still have $400.
Yep.
But
so would that be a definition of pay to win, then?
No, not really. I mean...
No, I'm just really fucking lucky, quite frankly.
I mean, the way Hearthstone works is if you're playing the daily quest every day, you'll probably earn enough coins to get a free pack every other day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do that. I just did 2 quests that were get 5 wins with Druid.
And yeah, so that got you enough gold for a pack.
I just bought 2 packs right now, and I got Malagos, which is actually going to... Oh, my God, such a... anyway, God,
but
I shouldn't do that.
I haven't been spending my gold recently, though.
Saving up for that thing, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, the first expansion content for Hearthstone's coming out sometime in the summer. They haven't announced an exact date yet, But from what I understand, it's going to be divided up into four or five chunks of single-player content. And the first chunk is going to be free, and then the rest of them are going to cost dollars or coins. So I've saved up about 2,000 coins now. I'm hoping that's going to get me through all of that content without having to spend real money. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. But on the other hand, I've been making money with, you know, Lyft now, so I might just buy some packs for a change. What the hell? Woo-hoo! But so far, my total amount spent on Hearthstone is $3, which I spent during the beta just so I could get the gold version of that one legendary card. Mm-hmm. That was free.
Good shit.
That's a RNG card, so it's nobody ever uses it.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah. We were talking before about games coming to PS4. We're talking about Grand Theft Auto 5. And, you know, Last of Us is coming to PS4. Tomb Raider already came. I don't know if you guys heard about the Sleeping Dogs. It looks like it's going to be getting the HD port.
Allegedly.
Except these games are already in HD. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously, it really seems like we're seeing these because of the lack of games coming out for the new current-gen consoles.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a secret. So how long do you think this is going to go for? Do you think there's going to be any other announcements, or do you think we're good?
It's going to keep going.
I mean, there's a lot of PS3 upscalings. Like, there's the Final Fantasy set, the Ratchet and Clank. I mean, everything that was on PS2 is on PS3. I feel like partially that was to get around the fact that there was no backward compatibility, but...
I don't think this is necessarily the reason why. I think a lot of developers were kind of citing the reasons why they're doing this to kind of learn the new hardware. Because, I mean, if you can eliminate the factor of, you know, the simple fact that, okay, we've dealt with all this code before, we know it breaks, you know, and then now we just need to kind of improve the assets and then port it over to the new platform, I would say, like, that's a good, you know, way to kind of learn the new platforms, frankly, you know?
I agree. And it seems like people are really happy that Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming to current gen and, of course, PC.
Yeah. Everybody, like, benefits, you know, from that whole thing.
I wish I could import my save file, though.
You can. I mean,
only for the online.
Only for online,
for the single player. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a slight by Sony. Like, what they're actually talking about is Grand Theft Auto Online. Which they did mention multiple times. Yeah, so.
Oh, well. That was a disappointment for me, because I was like looking forward to just diving back into the game on PC, and now I'm just like, do I really want to start from the beginning? But then again,
there's an expansion
it's such
pack
a
for
fun game, though. I mean, I actually wouldn't mind starting from the beginning again.
I guess there's an expansion pack for Grand Theft Auto Online today called the Hipster Pack.
Mm. Is it paid?
I don't know. It seems like all these packs are free, but then they sell you like add-ons and stuff. I actually was in GameStop, and they're selling currency at GameStop for Grand Theft Auto Online.
That's crazy. Well,
I mean, I know you can buy it through the store, but, like, only the most popular add-ons get sold in-store like that, so it's like, huh.
Have either of you actually played Grand Theft Auto Online?
Uh-uh.
I played Grand Theft Auto 5 for 4 minutes, and that was to see whether I had installed the game correctly and I wouldn't get poppin'. Now
well,
I spent $60
on it. I actually played it then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played it during the beta, though. I was waiting for things to stabilize, and then I kind of never got back to it.
I spent $60 on a game I never played, and now I'm going to spend $60 on a new version. But it's okay, because I spent $400 on Hearthstone.
Yay. Yay. Okay, well, I mean, it seems like the community for Grand Theft Auto 5 is still going. I mean, because it's funny, because, like, when people start talking about, like, Grand Theft Auto Online, people are like, so what the fuck do you do in that? Do you just run over people? Like, that's literally what people say. It's like, you know, it's quite strange. Although, like, I saw this one video of... this crazy video, like, it was released, like, when Grand Theft Auto Online came out, where all these, like, helicopters were, like, basically airlifting these cars, like, on top of this circular building, and they were basically trying to, like, push each other off the building as some sort of contest or something, which I felt like that was actually pretty entertaining. I mean, I should probably post that on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. Yes, in terms of these re-releases, though, it's just going to keep coming. I mean, as long as nostalgia sells and, you know, these developers need to test out new platforms and whatever else, it's just going to keep happening. And, yeah, people just are willing to buy the same game over and over again, Ted. So why the hell wouldn't they keep making them?
This is true. Ted is the market audience.
So I'm the problem.
Yeah, well, if it is a problem. There's nothing wrong with wanting to play a game that you love in its all of its glory on modern hardware, you know?
It's Ted we're talking about here. Does he really play games?
Do I play? I think I do.
Of course.
I think I do.
By the way, Alex, we never actually asked you what you've been playing.
Oh, dear. Well, okay, so I... I am still playing Final Fantasy 14. Hint, hint, Ari.
Yeah.
Aren't you like a legacy player? Don't you only have to pay like $9.99 a month for that game? While the rest of us have to pay $12.99?
Well, here's what happened. See, I played in the beta of Final Fantasy 14 1.0, and I decided it was terrible. So I never actually subscribed. Oh. And I let my collector's edition remain sealed on my shelf for several years, and I never had any use of it till A Realm Reborn came out. So I did use my old collector's edition code to register for A Realm Reborn.
Oh.
So I got like the trinkets and things that having that kind of game key would get you, but I don't think I got the discounted.
Yeah.
So no to that, but I still really do want to play it. It's just a matter of deciding that I have enough time to.
Well, Ted has something to say to you, which he said to me. He's like, I think I always try to like make myself remember what you said that one time, but I can never remember the exact words he's told me. Something along the lines of like, if you really want to, you will make time.
Yeah, it's I didn't think I would have time to play Final Fantasy 14, but when I got interested in it, I started changing my schedule around a bit so that I could play it.
Well, here's what I've been doing lately. I'm basically making my weekends completely full of driving because that's when I can make the most money.
Yeah.
So in theory, during the week, during the day would be my best time to play, but that's not when you guys are playing, so it's kind of rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can, you know, I mean, we're always kind of like in the, oh, do you play, well, I was going to say like, well, do you play in the evening and yeah, you have your girlfriend
there.
That's
exactly when I don't play because I'm spending time with my girlfriend.
Yeah. Though. Okay. Yeah.
But well, like after like 10 o'clock, maybe.
Jesus. Well, I mean, we sometimes play past 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because like right now, okay, so right now, the way we have it, we have a healer. My friend Brandon is a healer. We have a tank. That's Ted. And we technically have two DPS classes, but Chris is never around. So,
need more deeps?
Sure, why not? If we can get this to, like, a party of eight, like, we don't need, like, any other people unless we want to get into, like, the Crystal Tower, which is, like, 20 people.
Okay, so in theory, the plan would be for me to try to level up characters during the day so I'm of an appropriate level by the time you guys are playing at night.
Pretty much. Like, right now, I want to say, like, Ted is on track to be level 30 by the end of the week, perhaps. Maybe sooner. If he actually sticks with with his main job.
How much are character transfers? Because I have a character that's around that level.
Like $15?
$18.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's a thought.
Yeah. I mean, so I started a character on Sunday at like 8 a.m. I was level 15 by like 7 p.m. It's not that bad.
Well, that's a marathon day, though.
It is a marathon day, but even then, like, you know, just, you know, it's you know, if you kind of only even spent like 2 hours a day, like you can get to 15 in about a week.
Yeah.
You know, more or less. And that's without us, like if just during the daytime and stuff, you know, if you want to talk about that sort of thing.
Right.
Hell, the other day, today I just did a fate by myself, and it looks like the game, if you're doing a fate by yourself, like helps you out. I noticed that I did the same fate twice. The second time there are more people, so it actually became harder. So that was neat. I didn't know that actually happened.
Yeah. They did.
That's something else I didn't know, that they actually make it harder the more people play and easier the fewer people play.
Yeah, it's crazy how that all like how that game does it like dynamically, you know. So what else have I been playing? I kind of went back into Wolfenstein. There was a section that I was having a tough time with, so I kind of lowered the difficulty. And then somehow, it's so weird. So there's like five difficulty settings. I put it from, you know, the fourth difficulty, whatever the fuck it is, to like the third one. And it got way too easy. Like there's no in between that it's like, well, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. You know, it's just like, all right, punishingly impossible or punishingly difficult or super easy. And that's not even the super easy setting. It was just like, you know, like whatever. And they just kind of mowed down everybody and then went to the next section in which, you know, I set it back up to the next difficulty level, and then it was pretty easy. I was like, the difficulty curve in this game is just all over the place, you know. But it's weird because this Wolfenstein game is actually a Wolfenstein game that you can go through levels without actually like shooting your gun a single time. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Wolfenstein's probably a game I'll be picking up on a sale,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely something I am interested in.
Yeah, it's well done. I mean, you know, id Tech aside, like it's a pretty solid game. Like all, like throughout, it's just it's weird because you're doing very non Wolfenstein-y kind of things. And BJ Blazko is a pretty emo dude in this one. He's like lamenting his life and you know the life he misses and all that stuff. And it's odd, but you know somehow it works. You know, because it's still because apparently this is a universe that was like going off of the Raven Wolfenstein game that was released a few years back.
So, oh, yeah, that other one.
Yeah, that other one.
Well, didn't that game come out the same time as, like, a major game? And there's this thing, is if we outsell this other game, I'll go crazy.
Yeah.
What game was it that came out at the same time? Was it a Call of Duty game? Because that'd be hilarious.
Maybe. I think it might as well would have been.
It was a bet he knew he couldn't win.
Yeah. That really sucked for him. all right. And then, of course, Destiny. We all played the alpha.
Alpha.
This weekend. So I'm kind of curious about what you all think. Ari? I don't know.
Well, my experience was kind of weird because apparently where there were supposed to be other players, there were not. I played it during that day where they said strange things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the extended playtime or something. So like when I went to the area, the common area where you're supposed to see other players, I was just experiencing it solo and I had no idea there were supposed to be other players around. And I wasn't able to do the four player map or the three player map or whatever it was. I wasn't able to do any of that stuff. So what I experienced was kind of like being in an MMO city with no players. It's like, okay, there's a bunch of vendors around, but nobody to dance with. So in terms of the game itself, I liked the very first mission. I found that interesting and very Bungie-esque. But aside from that, I wasn't that impressed by the open zone questing where you just kind of got an objective and had to go do it. I found that kind of dull. Mm-hmm. And also, I wasn't knocked over with the visuals. I thought they were okay. But I didn't feel like it screamed next gen as much as it could have.
Interesting.
Know? And I guess that's probably an artifact of it being a cross-platform with previous generation mm-hmm. game, you know? It's going to be on Xbox 360 and PS3 as well.
I can't imagine how that game is going to look on PS3 and 360. Mm-hmm. It can't be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to forget that the previous gen platforms are all going to be running at, like, at the very most 720p. I mean, it's probably not going to run at 720p, but I can't imagine how it's going to look on that platform.
It's only coming out on those platforms. I mean, we're still seeing a lot of cross-gen stuff only because, you know, there's not that many games, if any, that are current-gen only. I think EA did that with their sports games, and I kind of wanted to pick up UFC, but I kind of don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not into the UFC like I used to be. And so you're just going to see a lot of that. Like, I played Murdered Soul Suspect on PC, and I wasn't blown away by it. Because,
mm-hmm.
well, one, that game blows donkey dick, and two, it's just too tied to the past gen.
Yeah. I mean, it started off as a previous gen game, and I think we were all surprised when they announced next gen. We're like, what?
Well, I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not gonna be an apologist for the graphics, but I personally felt like that it was trying to do kind of like really clever things that a lot of previous gen games just didn't do, especially on console. I mean, it definitely looked great. I mean, it was funny because when Ted and I were playing, the first thing I noticed was our shadows weren't like, you know, aliased. We're like, oh my gosh, this is actually pretty smooth. It says,
look down at your feet. I went, ah, my feet.
Yeah, I told Ted, like, hey, we have feet. It's like, that was like a big deal for some reason. But I mean,
what really blew me away was the audio design. When Alex was inside a building and talked, his voice echoed. Now I have a headset and I understand that there's differences when they're next to you. And when they're away from you, it comes through the headset or the speakers, but my headset is my speakers. But still, when he was around me, like, his voice changed where he was in my head, because I have surround sound, and that actually reflected that. and filters were applied based on whether it was indoors or outdoors. Mm-hmm. That's attention to detail. I don't know. I've never seen another game do that with voice.
Yeah, voice chat, that sounds
really cool, and I kind of wish I had gotten to experience that. And I also wish I got to experience some of the other features of Destiny that were advertised in E3 over the last couple of years. Like that scenario where the player was just walking along, and then all of a sudden he was part of a multiplayer event.
Oh, geez.
I didn't get anything like that. I didn't really get into the loot addiction aspect of the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I wasn't all that impressed with the alpha, I'm still a little bit optimistic about the game as a whole, and I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, the beta, from what I heard, has a ton more content, because like the one content that we still have not experienced is the 6-player raid missions. I mean, you know, like Ted and I have experienced Strike, which is their version of the dungeon.
We got fucked up.
I think we retried. Okay, we weren't even at the mid-boss of that level, and we were already getting fucked up. It was a basic defend a spot for 3 waves kind of thing. But also, you know, it's important to note that we were trying this on Legend, not Legendary.
Why were we doing Legend? I didn't know we were doing Legend.
I picked it. It was my fault. It was my fault. I asked everybody, do you want to play Legend? And everybody's like, yeah! And I forgot that Ted was like level 6. It was supposed to be for people who are between level 6 and level 8. And there are 2 level 8s and 1 level 6. So we're like, uh-oh.
I'm not sure about those level estimates, though, because I went into the open area and it said it was a level 3 zone. And I went on a random quest and it took me to enemies that were level 8 and 9. And they were just hammering me.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure how that whole thing works. It seems like you can definitely get into content that's more powerful than the level suggests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a section near the beginning of where you spawn in old Russia, where if you go into this one cave, there are people with question marks for levels.
Ah.
You can't even kill those assholes.
They're probably level like 13 or something.
Maybe. Well, no, because
I bet you if they're like 5 or 6 levels higher, you don't see the number.
Probably not. And considering like the level cap is a 20, I mean, they couldn't be that much higher.
That's true.
Yeah. Which is kind of disappointing to me to hear, like, it's only up to level 20. But I guess if they're going to make this, like, a 4-game series, it just makes a lot of sense, I guess. Because that was, like, their plan. Like, you know, when Activision and, you know, West and Zampella were, like, getting sued and stuff. Like, you know, they had to open up the agreement for Destiny. And they said, 10-year plan, 4 games. So,
do you think they can win over the Borderlands players?
It's a different
game. It doesn't feel like Borderlands. And also, I have quit playing Borderlands 2 since I got to Ultimate Vault Hunter mode because it's literally too hard to play by myself.
Oh. Yeah, I felt that way too when I got into those modes.
So I don't play Borderlands 2. It might as well be dead to me.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to go through and do all the DLC, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Destiny has a different feel, right? I mean, the way that I don't know if you saw that that E3 experience video. I think that Jason Jones released about Destiny during E3 week. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
The way that Jason Jones actually explained it, and that's how I kind of started explaining it to people, is that the way that Destiny is structured depends on what you feel like at that point in time. So, for example, if you don't want to be committed to prolonged bouts of gameplay, you can do the explore, do some, you know, random quests here and there, and maybe encounter a public event. And, you know, you eventually do get into public events the more you play free roam or explore. And then if you want to kind of advance the storyline, obviously there's story. But if you want a more really high intensity experience, that's when you do Strike. And, you know, I'll tell you what, like, I played several Strike missions with several different people. And that's like literally like 20, 30 minutes of just intense action throughout. Like, there's no breaks in between whatsoever. There's no,
wow.
Oh, I have to walk to this section. It is literally what Destiny's dungeon would feel like if it was, you know, if it's structured that way. So they did it so that you can kind of like, you know, like play it as you go on your own pace without any sort of pressure. So I kind of appreciate that sort of thing. But the most important thing here, though, is that they're able to now talk about the game in a much more concrete fashion. Because before this, remember, we were all like, everybody in our team was like, what the fuck is Destiny? How does it even play? Is it like Borderlands? Now we kind of have an idea of what the game is going to be. But, you know, obviously there's got to be more than this, because if it's just old Russia on Earth, that's kind of boring. You know?
Old Russia was pretty damn big, though. I kept being surprised by seeing how many new areas I had never seen before as you were leading me through all these twisting buildings that all looked the same, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. And some areas even loop back into each other. Like, I remember when we were looping back into this one area and we're like, oh, wow, this is where you fought the wizard from the moon.
What did you think of that performance? I mean, you know, you played that first mission. Mm-hmm. That wizard came from the moon.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Wizards from the moon.
Yeah.
You know where the wizard came from. We know that now. Have you seen the meme picture? It's a Peter Dinklage with the Obama Hope color treatment, but at the bottom it says that wizard came from the moon.
Oh, wow. I mean, what'd you think of it, Ted? Like, you know, how about that performance?
That robot is surprisingly chipper and matter of fact for being a robot in a ruined world. I feel
he's
like
no
he
Wheatley.
No, he's not meant to be Wheatley. If you're Wheatley, he'd kind of take focus from the game. You know, that's not the point.
Mm-hmm. So are you kind of getting like what they're trying to accomplish with Dinklage's, you know, kind of monotone voice? And
no, I'm not.
Oh,
I am not getting it.
Okay.
Bungie
yeah,
has
it's like,
done
like you've
Bungie,
enjoyed. Sorry, it's like you've
I'm
enjoyed
sorry.
His voice more before. You know?
Bungie basically invented crazy sentient robot AI banter. Long before System Shock 2, there was Marathon, and literally no one has done it better since. And I mean that. I have been playing Bungie games for 21 years. That's right. 21 years. My first Bungie game, Pathways into Darkness, 1993. First textured game on the Mac.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hard as shit.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much makes you, like, our Bungie, like, veteran. That's why I was kind of interested, like, you know, like, when I got into the alpha to kind of see what your reaction was. And you reacted pretty positively to it. So
yes,
I'm kind of, like,
I reacted pretty positively to the game, but make no mistake, and I'm going to say this right now, the people working in Seattle are not Bungie. Whatever company that is, Bungie's long dead. Jason Jones and Alex Seropian, you know. Without Alex Seropian, I don't know what the hell Bungie is. But it sure as hell ain't Bungie. And hasn't been Bungie for some time.
Hmm.
I'll always have the memories.
Aww. So, Destiny, yay.
Oh, it's a good game.
Yeah.
But I just don't really care. The Bungie name has no weight with me. You know, I was a fan long before Halo, so...
Of course.
Speaking of not Bungie, I still need to play Halo 4.
Might as well just get it on Xbox. Well, actually sold my copy of Xbox. Oh, yeah, I sold my copy of Halo 4 because I pre-ordered the new version of Halo 4.
I'm still sealed.
Okay, is that the reason why you're getting the Xbox One?
No, it wasn't that, though.
Damn it.
It did seem like an interesting collection.
I know. Yeah. I know why you're getting the Xbox One.
What was it?
Dance Central Spotlight.
Nope. But come on, you know me. The music games that I play are Beat Mania and, like, Rock Band.
I know. I kid.
I tried DDR, like, twice, and I said, nope.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Jeez. They're still trying to figure out, like... I mean, I guess there's a discussion at Harmonix saying, you know, talking about how they made, like, Dance Central 3, like, pretty damn difficult for being, like, the last in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm just glad that the Amplitude Kickstarter made it.
Yeah, and they also laid off 37 people.
Yeah, that wasn't so good.
That was not so good. So, kind of like bad, terrible transition, but you said you wanted to talk something about Zelda?
Okay, yeah, you know, I chose this topic without really knowing where I was going with it, so you guys might have to help me along here.
Okay.
But VG247 posted an article that quoted the series producer, Eiji Aonuma, talking about the nature of the puzzles in the upcoming Zelda game on Wii U. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this here. He said that as a player progresses, they're making logical choices to progress them in the game. And when I hear puzzle solving, I think of moving blocks so that a door opens or something like that. But I feel like making those logical choices and taking information that you received previously and making decisions based on that can also be sort of puzzle solving. So I want to kind of rethink or maybe reconstruct the idea of puzzle solving within the Zelda universe. So I was thinking, what the hell does that mean? Like, what kind of puzzles do you think they have in mind for the next Zelda game if it's not going to be moving blocks or...
Okay, you know, well, the hint was you'll make decisions and those decisions have consequences. So it seems like they just discovered Mass Effect.
Yeah, but I mean, can you really call that a puzzle? I mean, I don't really know.
Okay, well, so, say you go talk to a guy and then maybe at the door there's a block puzzle, or maybe if you help him out, he solves the block puzzle for you. I don't know.
Well, I mean, okay, well, there... Obviously, like, Zelda is moving towards a more open world setting, right? I mean,
right.
I think the whole need to actually have a specific... I honestly think that the previous Zelda game kind of set the mood and the tone of, like, what they want to accomplish with the Wii U Zelda. That is, you can rent, like, you know, items and tools and stuff and for a certain fee until you die and, you know... get to keep it unless you actually are an idiot and you keep
dying. I don't know if they'll bring back that mechanic, but they're definitely going to let you explore in any way direction that you want to, you know,
in any dungeon. That's
in any dungeon with whatever item is necessary that dungeon. That will stick. I don't know about the renting, but definitely the non-linearity will still be there.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, something, you know, I think something to do with using the environment, you know, like kind of like the puzzles of the environment, maybe since it's probably going to have a 24-hour cycle, maybe something to do with sun rays and stuff. I mean, they could do a lot of different things with a Zelda game that is open world, you know, using some of Skyrim's mechanics. Because let's face it, I mean, this new Zelda game is modeled, you know, somewhat like Skyrim in some sense.
Yeah,
some
but,
senses.
You know, when you think about Skyrim is an open world game and it does have puzzles. And guess what? Their blocks being moved, their keys and triggers and traps, you know?
Right.
It's the exact same kind of stuff that's in the Zelda games, just in Skyrim's first person's perspective.
Well, I guess so, what I'm saying is, like, you know, like, I don't know if you've watched the, you know, the last, like, Hobbit movie and stuff. They had, like, this thing where they had this scene where they were supposed to look for this key for this dungeon and stuff like that are supposed to go in, but... You know, they had to find it literally, like, sunset and darkness or whatever the hell, and they couldn't find it, and then, you know, like, those sorts of things, those interplays with, you know, what's happening in the environment with, you know, with the climate and the time of day and stuff, maybe those sorts of things, because, I mean, I remember in, oh man, I remember, like, didn't Ocarina of Time play with something like that as well? Like, I mean...
Well, there were definitely things in the game that were dependent on the time of day.
Yeah, because I think that in order for, like, knowing the developers of Zelda, they'll probably try to highlight some of the elements that are brand new to the series as parts of that kind of puzzle mechanic. So, I mean, obviously we haven't heard anything else in this game other than, yay, by the way, it's open world. Yeah, and yay, by the way, it is Link. We were just kidding about the whole, you know, possibly not Link part.
Right.
But... You know, I feel like, you know, it's just weird seeing, like, you know, Link being debuted with a bow and arrow and without a sword. You know, it's like,
well, Link never really looks like Link until he gets the green outfit, does he?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So that's probably just pre-green outfit footage.
Most likely.
It's going to happen.
And he's going to have that damn shield.
Right.
But yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about it. I mean, their willingness to kind of bring, you know, the Zelda series out of its conventions is very promising to me. And I admit, after selling my Wii U, it's kind of made me kind of really sad that's coming out. And they've actually had the balls to change things.
We could always get another one.
Oh, refurbs for $200.
Because there's never going to be another price drop.
Never. But, you know, I'm fairly optimistic about it.
Yeah, I want to play it. In fact, there's a lot of good stuff coming out for the Nintendo
Splatoon
system.
Splatoon!
Well, I guess. I mean, it's a non-violent shooting game. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, they had to use the Super Mario Sunshine mechanic somehow.
Yeah. But why would they take the theme away from Mario? Because they were inspired by squids.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, this is kind of like an A-side, really. I have, like, news about your favorite climbing game of all time, Assassin's Creed Unity. Yeah. So apparently they're fixing the way that missions work in that game. So I don't know if you have you guys heard anything about the mission structure in that game?
No, not yet.
Okay, so the way that it... So let's say... Here's a good example. So let's say you're going on a tailing mission. And of course, you all love those tailing missions, right?
I never had a problem with them.
Yeah. Well, you know how like sometimes like in tailing missions, if they actually spot you, game over, mission's over, and done?
Yeah.
It actually, what Unity will actually do is it transitions to a new mission type. So once the person spots you, they actually start running away. So it becomes a running mission. Right. Mm. And then what happens is if you actually catch them, you basically interrogate them as usual. But of course, because they're running into the environment, there's a likelihood that they could die. So if they do die during their chase and stuff, you can actually loot their bodies and the storyline continues.
So there's no fail state?
There is no fail state.
Okay, so basically for the impatient player, every time an escort mission starts or sorry, a trailing mission starts,
gets spotted,
they could just run out, stab the dude, and move on with the game.
Pretty much.
But not get the whisperings.
Yeah, or not get... I mean, it'll probably advance the storyline in some way, but probably miss some sort of, like, you know, important element that they would have, you know, gotten if they had waited this person, you know, for this person to talk to somebody else or something like that. So it's
you know what? This is kind of neither here nor there, but I want to take the hero character from Saints Row 4 and run around in Assassin's Creed to show them how to climb walls.
Yeah, just a leap, pretty much.
No, I mean, just running straight up the wall, like mm-hmm. running up it, you know?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So but, easy. I mean, you don't have to spend, like, a minute climbing a building in that game.
They did speed it up and a little bit. I mean,
sick of it. I'm sick of it in... Assassin's Creed. I'm sick of it in Uncharted. I'm sick of it in Tomb Raider. I don't want to climb anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, they did improve climbing down. They made it a lot faster.
You can fall to the ground.
Well,
and die.
Yeah, climbing down. It's like falling with style.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah. I don't know. Well, because one of the things that I noticed that they were doing is they were returning to a lot of the assassinations that are similar to structure in part one. Because, like, if you remember Assassin's Creed 1, you kind of had to plan out your assassinations, and you can't just haphazardly just jump in there and, like, stab somebody and then run away. So they're kind of trying to return back to that without the tedium, you know? Because I remember, like, in Assassin's Creed 1, you had to, like, wait an hour or something like that just to plan the perfect kill, and, you know, that was just not feasible, so... I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about that game, especially since there's like four people that can play that game now.
I want a cheat mode where you just get all collectibles immediately.
In that game, yeah.
In all open world games, I'm just. I think
the cheat code
gamer.
Is the eject button.
Yeah.
You're just gonna have to.
Not collect everything.
Not
play these games.
Find different games to play.
Yeah,
I recommend fighting games. Like, there's nothing to unlock ever.
Yeah, that's not really true. Fighting games have lots of unlocks. They're just in the form of like gallery images and things like that.
Oh, they don't even have that shit anymore. Are you kidding me?
They have it in Mortal Kombat.
Well, anime games.
That's not an anime game.
Well, if it's got a gallery and it's got like other kinds of unlockable shit, I mean, we're halfway to anime. We're fighting for Scorpion to get big Animu eyes and like 60 hit combos where nobody falls on the ground, and then some kind of. It's got a burst mechanic. You can break a combo in Mortal Kombat. We're at 75% anime here. Oh, and the varieties of characters. Oh, I don't know where that came from. Melty Blood, anybody? Right? Right? 85% anime.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's all we got to talk about this week. This has been a really fun episode, you guys.
Yeah. What the fuck?
What the fuck? It's fun again. Video
yeah,
games.
It's fun again, yeah.
Except I hate all of them.
It's okay, because, you know, oh god, the Steam sale tomorrow. I'm not going to buy anything, because I think I own everything.
Okay. I don't know. I wish this has got like 40 or 50 things on it now. So
I'll buy you things. There, how about
Yay!
That?
Oh, wow. Okay. Wait,
can I have an iPad?
What kind?
The biggest, bestest one with 128 gigs, please.
And LTE with AT&T?
I don't need the LTE. I mean,
so is it confirmed? So I heard you had an issue with your phone. Is it confirmed you're getting that replacement?
It's possible. I mean, for our listeners, I have a Razer Max from 2011, which I, after 2 years of suffering with it, I called Motorola, and they replaced it with yet another Razer Max, which became just as big a pain in the ass within just a couple of days. Oh, so I called them back again to do yet another RMA, and it looks like they're actually sending me a brand new phone, like a modern phone. So
finally,
I'm pretty happy about that. I might actually get back on board with Motorola if they can provide a product that actually does what it's supposed to. So we'll see what happens. But no, I won't believe it till the phone shows up on my doorstep.
I was going to make a snarky comment that isn't the Moto X like their last product? Well, then I thought about it. Maybe it is.
Well, I mean, the Moto X is like, from what I understand, since Google bought Motorola, like Moto X represents Google getting their claws into the hardware and making
it. Yeah, that was the first phone they made under the direction of Google, and it was like a really good phone.
It's supposed to be their best phone they've ever made, so I really hope this is real and I actually get this thing and that I don't have to spend another hour on the phone with tech support.
And of course, you know how you can find out if Ari actually got his phone. Subscribe to Backlog Barbecue Podcast. Yay! So if you want to continue, you know, trying to see the, you know, the continuation of this saga, of course, subscribe to Backlog Barbecue on our website, GamerHorizon.com. And if you have any questions, email us at BacklogBBQPodcast@GamerHorizon.com or call us. We have a voicemail number, which no one's called yet. It's kind of lonely. It's 470-222-4075. I don't know how long that's going to last, but until Google lets us keep it, it's 470-222-4075. So until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye those games.